So this morning, Rob is going to come and bring the word of God. This morning, Rob, as you know, one of our kind of regular preachers. He's been on holiday this week. That's why he's looking so fresh.
Nice.
But let me just tell you something quick. It's just Rob sets up. So last Friday night we were having community, and I'm interrupted by a phone call from my wife, and God just ridden into the back of her driving down William Moffat to community. Just a bump. In 25 years. 27 years of driving. I think my wife's a fairly good driver. She's never even had so much as a bump. Anyway, this guy was looking down, just bumped into her, and so on. Tuesday morning, she bumped into somebody else. She thought she'd just carry on. And she said to me, I don't even know how it happened. I saw him pull away, and then he just as the robots went green, and he kind of braked, and I just rode in the back of him. And obviously she's a little shaken. This, the damage is not too bad, and we have a good broker. damage is not too bad. It's just bizarre. It's just really, really bizarre. And here's the thing. This is what I want to say. We're going to talk around fear today. And when that kind of thing happens, even though it wasn't serious and it's just a car and all the rest, it unnerves you. Twice. In 27 years, nothing. And then in less than a week, twice. And so Tuesday, she's a little rattled, and so we're saying Tuesday afternoon, I said, you know what, we're doing this series, and I know we can't prove everything, and so I'm not running after a devil behind every bush, but we are cognizant to the fact, we are alert to how the enemy likes to get in. Amen. So we said, you know, we're just going to pray. Baz and Vicky had already prayed for Kim on Sunday about the Friday night incident. That's the Tuesday, so now we had to go back over. We just kind of invited Jesus to come into that moment. Like, you know, you're a little stressed and panic and so on. And just this amazing peace. Like Kim said, I could feel it. Just, I could feel him just, you know, just, and that fear and all that angst just out. And got back in her car, drove around all week with no fear. No fear. And I share that just because this is what happens in this journey. This is what happens when we got to fight for our victory. It doesn't come to us on a platter, and sometimes there's pushback. But here's the thing, Jesus is always greater. He is always stronger, and he is always more powerful. And so just want to encourage you by way of testimony and so on, just in that moment, just to pray and to see the majesty of Jesus just come in and just bring a complete peace. So, yes, to another 27 years of...
Claim free, amen. It's funny how it happens like that, eh? Never rains a pause. Anyway, morning, everybody. Nice to see you. Morning. Oh, yeah, so this is quite a thing, eh? Fear. So I thought we were not going to call it fear. I thought we were going to call overcoming fear. Yes. Because it's just, it actually gets a little bit, fighting fit gets a little bit much when we all have to sort of confront the changes that are happening. But yeah, let's start with a prayer. Father, we just honor you today. What a wonderful privilege it is that we can get together in your name. Father, each one of us wants to hear from you today. Each one of us has stuff that we need to lay at your feet. Each one of us have challenges that we are grappling with and that we are struggling. Each one of us need you in ways that we don't understand. And Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we break down walls so that we can hear your word clearly. I pray, Lord, that you would help me today to slow down and to speak clearly, that we may know you more and your will for our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Fear is one of those. So who was here last week? Who was here last week? Wave your, okay. Last week was probably one of the best messages I think I've ever heard. It really, really was. So no pressure, eh? Like no pressure. Speaking of fear today, there's no pressure at all. But it really, really was. So I mean, this whole Fighting Fit series is talking about Christians where... So we know one of the things that Trevor covered last week is that a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. But we can be influenced by a specific type of spirit that we can't see. And Trevor went over all the scriptures about exactly that we're fighting a battle that is unseen. If you're a Christian and you've given your life to the Lord and you are following him, you are unwittingly involved in warfare. You may not know it, you may not feel it, you may wake up in the morning, your cornflakes taste exactly the same, but you're in a war. And the worst thing to do is that you're in a war, but you don't know it. So you get up in the morning, you don't put on any armor, you walk outside, guess what's going to happen? Your enemy is waiting for you. The Bible says that your enemy is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this whole thing of fear for me is deeply personal. It's like one of those, I've really, through my life, I've grappled with it. And you might think, well, you know, in what areas or whatever, because when we think about fear, we don't necessarily talk, there's things that I want to show you today that maybe you are struggling with. And we want to just pray into those and sort of highlight them today. But you know, if you go to Google, Google's answer to everything, eh? Google definition of fear, it says, fear is a natural, powerful, and primitive human emotion. It involves a universal biochemical response as well as a high individual emotional response. Fear alerts us to the presence of danger or the threat of harm, whether that danger is physical or psychological. Hey, so the whole thing behind it, if you read a little bit further in psychology things, Amy will stand dummy. She's doing psychology, so yeah, don't throw me off, eh? But anyway, basically they say that fear is a good thing. It's not a bad thing because it tells you, like if you're walking, missionaries walking through the, you know, the jungle, comes across a lion, fear, okay? Your hair stands on end, your glands kick in, adrenaline starts going, and you're running, okay? Unless you're Gary, then you say, Lord, I pray that this is a Christian lion. That's what you do, yeah. And then the line goes, for what I'm about to receive, may the Lord make me true. Nah, okay. So anyway, this week, my thunder was stolen completely because on the men's group, we had this one with a lion on. And this is the basic description. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, so if you're a Christian, that's what God has given you. Love has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God has given you if you're a Christian. Okay, that's what it basically is. But the reality is then, through this last little while, COVID, man, what our government is doing, what our local government is doing. Maybe some of you guys might have lost somebody. Maybe you've had friends that have immigrated. We've all had to grapple, I think, in some level or other with fear. It's all, we wake up and things are so turbulent at the moment. And I'm not one of those guys that likes change a lot. I like to do the same things I kind of do. I'm a little bit of a rig. You know, I like my routine, okay? I'm not as bad as Ethan. Ethan's much worse. Yeah, sorry, bud. But I just do. I like my routines, and I don't like it when things change. And if anything defines our society at the moment, it's change. And it throws us into this uncertain realm, like, where is God in all this stuff? Like, what is he actually doing? Now, I want to start off with something, and it says in Genesis chapter 1. He said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So if you read that whole long scripture, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. If you read through all of that, there was no fear involved. When God made man, he did not create fear. Fear came when they fell into sin, and then they heard God walking in the evening through the garden, and they were afraid. They were afraid. It was a response to suddenly realizing that they had messed up. I don't believe that fear has any power. I disagree with Google. I disagree. And you can have a look. All of the psychology things, they say it's absolutely normal, it's absolutely fine, it's absolutely good. God did not create fear. The fear of the Lord is a different thing. There's this reverential understanding that he holds our very lives in his hands, that a completely different thing. He does not want you to be scared of him. He wants you to understand him for who he is. It's a very different thing. Fear is not something that God wants us to walk in. He says here, it says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God's talking, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You were. That's who you are. And then if you go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, it says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, Jesus, in his talk. And they sent to him the disciples and the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? See where this is going. Okay, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, O hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. guess how you pronounce it. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is on this? And they said to him, Caesar. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him alone. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Jesus says, whose image is on the coin? You were made like that coin. You were made in the image of God. And your enemy's whole trick is to rub out that image of God in you. That is his sole purpose when it comes to you, is to take you out of the equation, because you look like God. You look like him. Everything, what we go through in this earth, all the struggles and the things that happen to us at work, the things that happen to us in our family, the miscommunications and the strife and the struggle and the frustration that we feel is all put there by the enemy to rub you down so that you lose your peace, you lose your power, you lose your authority. And all you're doing is you're reacting out of frustration and fear and trying to keep your world together and putting out fires. That's the whole idea. And that coin, we were made in the image of God. That image, you look like God inside. You look like God inside. One of the things that we have, Vince, if we can go back to that first one with the lion. One of the things that God gave you in that image is a sound mind. He has a sound mind. He gave you a sound mind. But so many of us have got so much other stuff packed on top of that sound mind. How many of you gave your life to the Lord a little bit later in life? Okay, so you went through school and you went through maybe university. Am I the only one? Okay, I did. I learned a whole lot of stuff, okay? That was wrong, really, really wrong. It was wrong. And I had to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to contend for our sound mind. It isn't something that just naturally comes along, okay? You have to contend for it. You have to unpack all that old rubbish that you've learned. All that stuff that you've seen on TV where it says, if you don't do it, nobody. God only helps those who help themselves. Sounds true, eh? It's not in the Bible anyway. It doesn't say that anywhere. You could be trying so hard, you could be getting in his way. There's a whole lot of things that sound so really, really nice, but when you unpack them and you have a look at them, they actually are not. They've got nothing to do with the Lord. And that is the difficult thing, is that as Christians, our minds are probably one of the biggest battlefields, and we don't understand that. We have the right to think and feel what we want to. And yet so often, we let things walk into our lives and out of our lives, and we feel things just because we feel them. The biggest thing that the devil likes to do, the main thing, is that he's a liar. God says that he was a liar from the first. There's a scripture about it. He is the father of lies. That's who he is. The word Satan literally means the accuser of the brethren. When you get up in the morning, guess what Satan's doing to you and to everything around you? You're no good. You're never going to make it. You've blown your opportunities. Look at you. Everybody else is far more intelligent than you are, good-looking than you are, got a more successful business than you, drives a better car than you. Is any of this sounding familiar? It does, doesn't it? He lies straight away, all the time. Come on now, your life didn't go the way they planned. Like, where did you go wrong? It must be somewhere down here. Let's go and have a look at the back. It says, oh, this, look. Look at this, look what you did. You broke it over here. See, it's your fault. It's your fault. Look, look. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. No matter where failure isn't fatal with God. We always think that it is. Often it's our biggest lesson. As we're moving through life, we're not going to get things right with the Lord. But just make sure that you're not the Israelites that went around that mountain for 40 years, because that's a long way, man. It's a long, long way. You do want to learn. You want to learn your way through. But when you are told a lie, it's your responsibility to check that thing. It's your responsibility to check it. How do you know that you're controlled by fear? Okay, so these are the things that control by fear. Worry, anxiety, your need to control, unbelief, which then leads to apathy and isolation. When you live a life of fear, you get to a place where you're trying so hard on your own. that you, it's too hard for you. You start to want to disassociate yourself from other people and hide away. You can become addicted to drugs. You can become an alcoholic because you don't want to engage in life. It's too hard for you. Worry is probably, I think in my family, was probably one of the biggest things that we had to struggle with. It was like handed down. And when I grew up in a house where we had to be worrying about something, because if you weren't worrying about it, you weren't being conscientious about it. Does that make sense? You need to worry about something. It's like this hidden, unsaid thing. Like my parents would always worry about money. Okay, so money is a huge thing. Like just worrying about money. If you've got enough, you know, got a nice house and everything's fine, but you worry about it. In fact, you worry so much that if you don't have anything to worry about, you start getting worried. Like, I should be worried about something. So I'm feeling fine. Maybe there's something I haven't seen. Something, start looking around. You laugh, but I think my mom's like that. I don't say that. Those old habits, they grow up and they get taught. We teach our kids in unsaid things that we pass on. Like, you should be trying harder, you know. Other people are kind of doing a little bit better than you. You know, it's not, you're not really, you know, you should be, why aren't you doing as well as everybody else, you know. It's this horrible, ugly thing, worry and anxiety, that leads obviously to anxiety. Just this feeling constantly that things aren't right. You're not sure why, but it's just like, what else can go wrong? What else can go wrong? And you know, the reality is, I think, and in the world that we live in, with so much change, I mean, you don't really even want to click on News 24 anymore, do you? It's like, yeah. See, who else is doing something crazy? It's like something, it can. We want to have something that we can attach and just say, but it's going to be okay. And God is that thing. I'll get to that a little bit later. But that's that anxiety and need to control. Need to control is a major, for me, it was probably one of our biggest things. There's nothing like starting a business. I started a business when my girls were 6 months old. I had been working for a friend of mine who was my mentor, my Christian mentor. And he essentially fired me because I wouldn't sign a non-disclosure agreement. And every salary increase, we would just get more and more money out, less out. Have you ever been in that situation where your boss gives you an increase, but you get less money out? Have you ever had one of those? So that's nice, eh? Why are you getting a 10% increase? Excellent! And you go back and you have a look, and suddenly now your medical aid is more, and then you've got to pay for parking this year. You didn't pay for parking last year, but you're paying for parking this year, and you'll pay. And at the end of the day, you come out, you actually got less. And through a couple of years, I just started going backwards and backwards and backwards, and I tried everything that I could to try and actually get out of the whole thing, and I could not do it. And I left, and I started my business, and I had nothing. Jess came to me. She said, "There's the credit cards maxed out. We've got no money. We've got no food. We've got nothing. We're done." And I got twin little girls of 6 months old, and just the nappies were like half my salary. I can't tell you. We've got to make a plan. It was horrible. Anyway, so it was. I took the step of faith from the Lord. I felt from Him to do this thing. I just knew I was broken, because this man had betrayed me, and it's still even kind of. And I have genuinely forgiven the man. I pray for his righteousness, and I still talk to him. So it's not like one of those. But this is 22 years ago. But it cost me a friendship. It cost me my best friend as well. I struggled through the whole thing. So you know what I did? I started to control things. Because if I can control it. So I was the ultimate control freak. You make sure, because if you can control it, you know, some people are identifying with this. If you can control it, then it's going to be okay. And there is an element as a business owner, you need to budget, you need to know what you're doing, and we certainly do as a church. We have got budgets that scare everybody, hey, Audrey? Long, detailed, where every little cent goes, we know exactly where it goes. But it can get to a place where it starts to rule your life. And it can keep you up at night. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you wonder, like, where's that going to go? And what am I going to do with that? And then something happens and you don't know how to do it. And you know, I can change something. And you can become literally a nervous wreck. Need to control is a serious, that's how you know that you have a problem with fear.
the need to control your destiny because you're holding on so tight, God can't get in there. We were never made to have that type of control. Spirit of fear is faith in the wrong God. And what it does is it takes your eyes off the Lord and puts them on yourself and on your circumstances. Fear is the certainty that God is not in control and is probably the worst insult a Christian can give to the Lord. And in my opinion, it's a sin. The thing that we like to tell ourselves about the Lord is that, you know, my stuff is quite small. Like, he doesn't really need to know about all the things that I'm going through because he's God. Like, he's big, you know. He keeps the whole earth together. Universe is all together. Surely he's got more important things to do than to watch what's happening with me. But can I tell you something? You know how to have big conversation with your children, big ones, like the ones that you really want to have, those big conversations, is you listen to their little conversations. If you listen to your children's little conversations, they tell you about shoes or the fact that they need Doc Martens. Yeah, that kind of thing. Need Doc Martens, need something, need this and that, or what's happening with cricket and what's happening with sport and they need a new mountain bike and that. And you're involved with your children's little things. When they are confident, they can talk to you about their little things. They will talk to you about big things because it's natural. Yes, Dad, yeah, I'm a friend of mine at school. It's like going off the rails. He's doing this and he's doing that and he's talking about killing himself. I don't know what to do about him, Dad. What do you think? Pray about it. He will invite you. Your children will invite you to that situation because they can trust you with the little things. God is exactly the same. He's exactly the same. He wants to know about your little things. I can't find a parking. Really. Ask him. I honestly believe that we don't trust him with the small enough things. When you start trusting him with the small things and you see how he comes through for you in the small things, it'll be easier for you to trust him with the big things. That will be a natural thing because you've been through. Wait a second. I know. I prayed about that and he came through. My wife has recently been healed from probably one of the most devastating diseases that I think I've ever seen. And I literally watched my wife leave. And through that series we spoke on hope, faith, and love, something happened when I just thought, you know, I'm going to stick my hope to this thing. I'm going to believe God's going to do more. I believe that he can because I've seen him do small things in my business. Every month, the Lord has come through for me. Every single month, he's been there. Every single month, I've been able to pay my staff. Every single month, I've paid my rent. Every single month, he's been faithful to me. Every single month. This is a big thing. Lord, can I trust you for this? Do you know that she was healed? Jeez. Just honestly, she's not here today. But it took me probably, I think it took us a week before we told our kids we were so blown away. It was such a big thing for us. We could hardly tell our children. And just to tell our friends about what had actually happened and how the Lord had healed her from us. The blood test that showed that she had it was gone. Her enlarged heart was normal. Her vasculitis was normal. The stuff in her brain that was it was gone. The polyps on her thyroid that were eating away her thyroid were gone. Like the doctor's going, that doesn't look right. He's like, you're sure it's me? And I could see the change in her. She suddenly started to have more energy. And it's more and more and more and more. God comes through. When you trust him with the small stuff, it's like small steps will get you to the bigger stuff. That's what we want to do. So mind is a battlefield. Recognizing thoughts that aren't from yours. I just want to read this one. So 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We need to recognize thoughts that are not ours and that are not from the Lord. And the way that you do that is you learn to recognize the Lord's voice. When you recognize the Lord's voice and you know your voice and you need to check everything according to the Word of God. Worrying about things that you have no control is probably one of the most, what's the right word? It just gets you off on a tangent. You know, I get the fact that Disney's into strange stuff, but it's got very little relevance to me. It really does. I know that Jesus is coming back, but if I get all worried about when he's coming back and I get into all this theology about when it is, it'll eat away your spiritual strength and it'll make you worried. Watching stuff on the internet that doesn't line up with the Lord's word, and especially from teachers that say they are the Lord's, they are the Lord's. And the guy's got a viewership and he's looking for clicks on his little YouTube channel. He's not necessarily looking to change you. He is. That's what he's there for. Check everything. If the guy says the Lord's coming back tomorrow, tell him to transfer all his money into your account the day afterwards. Set up a payment plan. No, it's coming back on the 1st of December. So, okay, that's the correct. 2nd of December, can I have all your money? Then you'll know. You'll know for sure whether the guy's really into it or not. You'll know. But it'll get you confused. You'll run around and round and round, and you'll wonder whether it's right or wrong. And from what I've seen with some of my friends, it can become this thing. Take everything that you hear and you see on the internet by even preachers. Anybody, if they say something, check it against the word of God. Take it captive to the name of Jesus. You know, if somebody says, well, this is what I think that we should be doing and it's going to change the church, and this is what we're going to be doing, and it's something that we need to deal with or whatever, have a look at against the word of God. What does the word of God say about it? It all comes down to the fact that Jesus died on a cross for us. That's the bottom line, is that without Jesus in your life, without him as the central focal point of you loving and serving and he being a father to you, everything else is meaningless. All your sin is meaningless. Everything else is absolutely meaningless. We take every single thought captive to the name of Jesus and take it down to the bottom. Okay. If you don't know why you're angry or irritated, just stop it. Have you ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed? Hey? You just get up and you're grumpy, man. You just get up and you're like, kick the dog, get out of my way, you stupid dog, like walking through, give everybody the stuff and everything. And you sit back and you go like, what is your problem? Sometimes your feelings will be used against you. They just genuinely will be. They will. And also another trick of the enemy is to get you to over-focus on something that's really not important. Like the color of this carpet. Don't come to this carpet, man. This carpet's like, wow, it's weird, you know? And it doesn't work for me. And I'm using it as an example, but side issues in the church can derail your Christianity like nothing else can. Really, really. I've seen so many church. I don't know. I was reading a book the other day that said something about, and the guy used this phrase. He said, had more splits in it than the Baptist church. And I thought, wow. People think it's split churches for the silliest things, like a carpet, or we pray our drums too loud, or whatever it is. And I know that there are issues, and I know that there are genuine things. But is this actually serving the Lord or not? Is it really? Because sometimes those side things, they are completely a non-issue, and the devil is using that against you. Because if he can get you to over-focus on that, he's kind of got you in this vicious little circle. And if he can throw some irritation in there, oh, they're doing it again. They're doing it again. Told you. That song, you know, that song doesn't glorify the Lord. It's just a rah-rah song. You know, it's so over-focused on it. And it doesn't honor the Lord at all. But it will get you sidetracked to a place that's not beneficial to you. Okay. Lastly, and this is what I really feel that the Lord is saying more than anything this morning, is in 1 John 4 verse 9, it says, in this love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And verse 17, love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Perfect love casts out all fear. When you're doing your budget for your business and it doesn't work, remember that the Lord loves you. When he's in your corner, if God be for you, no man may be against you. And what anchors you is that love that he has for you. If he's paid the price of sending his Son to die for you, how much more will he meet your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And your life might not look exactly like you thought that it was going to, but he will still be there for you. He will still be there. It's this love that changes us and anchors us. When we know and understand how deeply the Lord loves us, we can have complete confidence in relinquishing control to him. You can't do that otherwise. You know, if you watch some Disney, I'm speaking on Disney, but it's not really, like any movie, all things will work out. You lie. Not everything's going to work out. You're lying. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine, you know, because things have a way of working themselves out. Really? Where does it say that? So all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. That's what it says. It doesn't just say, like, it's all going to be fine. It's not all going to be fine. When you put your trust and your faith in the Lord, it's going to be fine. I'm absolutely convinced that the one thing that you need to hear more today than ever before is that God loves you. He just does. He loves you for who you are. He loves you with all your stuff. He loves you with your selfishness. He loves you with your arrogance and your pride. He just loves you. He just does. And when we understand that love that he has for us, that gives us confidence. It makes us stand up and share this kind of stuff. Because we know who he is. God is love. He's made out of it. It's the very fabric of his being. He makes missionaries go. Love makes you have those brave conversations with your wife and your kids and your friends and your neighbors. More than anything else, our nation needs to know God's love. More than anything else. We don't need a new change in government. We don't need a new coalition government. We need Jesus. I keep picturing him walking up and down this country of ours, starting in Mozambique, Jesus walking and just walking through and calling his children to him. Because when people understand who he really is, it changes us from the inside. We know that we're not dependent because of what our color or not our color or anything else. We're not entitled or unentitled. We are supplied by the Son of God, by God himself, looks after us. He provides for us. That sinks down deep down. That'll change you like nothing ever will. That's the basis of everything. That's the basis of everything. Can I ask the worship team just to come up quickly? I want to make a last point, and then I want to just pray for you guys. So how do you grow love? Interesting question, eh? If we need more of this love in our nation, if we need more of this love in our families and our homes, we need safety. Because, and it's one thing that I love about our church, is that there's safety in this church. You can make a mistake here. Depends what it is. But you can make a mistake. And it will be okay. I've made mistakes. Should have seen the stuff I got up to in children's church. You can make mistakes. And there is a place of safety. For a father to create a place of safety in his home that his children know that he's not going to lose their temper with him, creates the place where your children can grow in love.